Bring this meeting of January 15th to order. Do we have any adjustments to the agenda?
I do not.
I have two additions from Brian. One is approval of amendments to the town plan, and the other is review of the draft audit management discussion letter. And then I wanted to also bring up the Irish Settlement culvert and the status on that one, which we talked about at our meeting last night when we had the highway equipment guys together. So we'll throw those into new business. The public has shown out in droves yet again, so we'll fast forward to old business, which brings us back to the budget, which hopefully, after this evening, this will be our last breath. And I'd like to say that it was perfect and all set to go, except that I caught an error on my part, which is that we have $50,000 under this revenue for surplus. That is in line 65. And since that is a article to be voted on, it should not be in there. Which was the note I had sent out earlier. So that one ought to come out. And hello.
Oh, hi.
You're here for the select board meeting?
Yeah.
Come on in. Were you trying to get in for public comment or something else?
My apartment was going to be discussed.
We have not heard from him.
Okay.
This one is
emergency health order.
I wrote that letter.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
I remember seeing something on it, but I didn't catch anything in the schedule.
Yes, well, because the agenda is set earlier in the day on Friday than the health order went out.
Can we answer any questions as long as she's here?
I doubt it.
do you have any questions? I mean, we are still in public comment.
He addressed my majority of my questions, I think, already.
Okay.
I did just have an electrician at my house, so I thought maybe that my landlord would be here.
He is not.
Okay.
He's on a next meeting, or we may have to schedule one in between before the next meeting.
Ah, okay.
So he has 5 days from when he's served the letter. He knows about it, but he's not officially been... I have not been notified that it's been served by the Sheriff's Department.
So we need to meet within 5 days of his receipt of that notification?
He needs to request a meeting. He can fix everything. No meeting required.
So the electrician found more issues. I have one outlet that's grounded. Every single other outlet is not grounded.
Ooh.
So he was just there. Paul. Manhart.
And that's someone the landlord.
Sent the owner of Mountain High. So he
gives that information back and.
What Patrick tested, there was more additional ones, I guess. So I just didn't know if he was going to be here.
He's not. You're welcome to hang out and see if maybe
he's
going to
drop. No, if it's not being discussed, I don't want to take up anyone's time or anything.
Did you send him an invite for?
Yes. Yeah, he knew this was an option.
Ah,
he also, again, has not been
forthcoming.
Officially served.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forthcoming in the sense that he's got an electrician over there. So that's encouraging.
If you want to wait a few more minutes to see if it comes through.
Okay.
Up to you.
Okay, thank you.
It's not like a private session, so.
Kendra.
Yes.
Okay, back to budget stuff. Ruth, do you need a full name there for that interaction that just occurred?
Is that official record that we're creating?
Well, it's not on the agenda. She walked in during public comment, so we took it. What's your full name, Ken?
Kendra Gangle.
She's way back there.
Oh, sorry, Kendra Gangle.
Kendra Gangle. And it's regarding electrical outlet issue that you're having in your apartment.
There were several laundry list of violations that were
taken. Okay. So we talked about taking the surplus out.
Okay, so what line was the 50 coming out of?
65, I think it is. Yep. Again, because it's an article to be voted on, so we have to add it in after the vote. And then the only other thing I would toss out to the collective group here is that we had the Morgan donation, which was $5,000. It wasn't set aside for anything specific, according to Ramona when I last talked to her. I had thought that was going to have been spent last fiscal year, but it hasn't been. Or for whatever reason, it didn't get teed up and spent. So it's still out there.
Can you remind all of us what the Morgan donation was?
It was a woman who lived in the town of Underhill, and she left $5,000 behind to the town and wanted it to go towards something for the general good, I guess. Okay. And so I think we recently talked about should it maybe go towards the sidewalk project,
I think that was the plan. And
maybe that's why it didn't get spent, because we had said go against the sidewalk. It was planned for last year, got delayed, so it's coming into this year. And so
exactly.
Okay. We should add that in somewhere under the revenue stream. We have a sidewalk reserve of $30,000. That's on line 58. And perhaps what we do is add that $5,000 to it. And make that
$35,000. So add a...
I don't know if you need to add a line. It's sidewalk reserve. If we said we were going to designate it for sidewalk, then count it. It's a reserve fund. So
up that to 35.
Yep. Won't be a large change in the outcome of the budget, but it's $5,000. So when you add that in, take out the 50 for use of surplus, that should bring our 0.4704 figure that's on the last page there up to probably about 0.474, 475 in that range.
Sorry, 0.4.
So the 0.47, when you add that, when you take out the 50,000 of revenue, that's what the surplus line 65 is, would drive this number to be larger by a little more than a penny. Excuse me, about a half a penny.
So that would be point.
You got that right? Hang on, let me think about this.
Half.
No, I'm thinking about a different scenario. So 50,000 would be somewhere on the order of a penny and a third or so. Yeah. Because 37.5 is a penny.
Yeah.
But 50 less the 5 that we just added,
it's 45.
It really only be 45. So it's about a penny and a half. So we'll bring that up to like 48.5 then, wouldn't it?
48.05.
Okay. 4.85. I can circulate this one more time with
all
that. Yeah. And it will do the math for us.
Correct. Otherwise, I think we're good. And as I mentioned, class 4. Oh, yeah, class 4. So class 4 wouldn't show in here if we were to choose to put that as an article. We're going to get to that.
Okay. Sorry. Jumped the gun on you.
In a moment. We could put dollars into the highway budget. And probably don't need to put it to vote, but given it's class 4, my sense is we ought to put it as an article and put it up to vote.
An allotment of a certain number of dollars.
Specific new line item that will go in for a certain amount of money. TBD, we decide for now. We talked at last night's meeting about getting a survey during the town meeting day where members from the Highway Equipment Committee would staff a table and have a survey for do you support class 4 road maintenance, $0, $5,000, $10,000, and find out where the comfort level of the town is at.
I mean, I'm a little nervous about using the term maintenance because that could mean everything from putting a little gravel on to replacing bridges and culverts.
Yeah, I know, and we talked about having a pile of gravel dropped and then help themselves.
Pile of old gravel.
Right.
From road rebuilds that we're doing. Yep.
Right. And
you could charge the hourly rate for if you needed to have material dropped off. It takes X dollars for a truck to go pick it up and do that. I mean, we could factor that in. We just haven't gotten to a point where we've discussed it at length. We're going to have a special meeting a bit earlier than we normally would to specifically go over putting together a survey for the town meeting day.
And that would be in lieu of a ballot item.
So that would be in addition to, that being if you put a line item out there in the budget, we could do that. That's one option. Or the other is to say, put out a small amount as an article and just see how the vote goes. In addition, you'll get more information from the survey. So depending on which way the vote goes, you might later on decide, okay, the survey says, and if you got 200 or 300 people on the survey, you feel pretty good about it. I know the information we got when we had the Alt-Trans survey that we put out, we had like 350 some odd respondents and got a lot of great information.
I too am a little leery about maintenance.
At least using that term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if the term we use is X dollars towards upgrading the road, whatever term we feel is appropriate.
Upgrading sounds even worse than maintenance.
Improvements, upgrade, maintenance.
How about basic maintenance or something like that?
Basic is
a good
word.
We can toss around some thoughts about what's the right way to do that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that was the thought process that we were on that piece of it was, let's get some information, because right now we're a very limited group here. We hear the vocal minority that comes in who live on Class 4 roads or have property on Class 4 roads. Yep. It would be good to get the broader audience of people who are voting taxpayers to take a quick one-minute survey to check off and help us understand what the town's interested in. And it wouldn't take that much effort on our part to do that. So we've already got a couple of volunteers that will help man the booth and pass them out, collect them, so that way we'll know that it's not like ballot stuffing or anything going on. It's here you go, take
that. That would be the roads committee?
Yep.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah, I think somebody present there
would
be a good idea.
Could answer questions.
Right.
To answer questions.
Exactly, because some people go, Class 4 road, what's that? And so educate them on what it is and what our situation is, let them go from there.
Right.
Let's be sure that whoever, and I'd be happy to talk to whoever is going to man the table, that they know, you know, what the issue is, and they know what the town's legal obligations are.
So that would be Rick and I.
Okay, so you and Rick are going to do it.
Rick will do the morning. I'll do the afternoon.
Fine.
Yep. We don't have to do the whole day. We'll cover a significant chunk of the crowd that's coming in for voting early on in the day, and then I'll catch the tail end of it when the people are coming back from work and hopefully get a bunch there too. So,
and maybe I could, you know, since I'm a JP and I'll be there anyway, because I'm a select board member, I'll be there anyway. So,
up to you.
I could probably help out with that too.
The other thing is by putting an article out, then you do get to discuss that on the floor during the town meeting. You can't change it, but you can discuss it. So we'll get some input
from
that.
Very carefully.
Yeah. But we'll get some input there. I still personally believe a survey where people are giving answers without the crowd influencing them is probably a more appropriate piece of information. But it could go out to the crowd and let our moderator, Dan, decide how to let that one go. Okay. So anything else on budget stuff? Everybody's good there?
No, it's clear.
Yeah, I thought I had a question. Remind me, is the $15,000 for the bus in the budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that would be on line... It's in there.
225. Right, GMT bus route. Sorry, yep, I should have picked that up. And that is because last year it was a ballot item and the voters voted to that the town should pay that money for the GMT bus.
I think that was the year before, but yes.
No, the year before was to put $5,000 in the bucket.
Well, that was from the floor.
That was from the floor.
But
and
last,
then last year,
year
was
last year we did a ballot item.
And,
right.
And it was...
And it had reasonable support.
It did. Yep.
And I think it's wise. You know, fiscally, it may not be, you know, what we're buying,
sense.
But we're looking in the future.
So, new news to you. I just got a note today from Rachel Kennedy from GMT. And basically, she sent out a month-by-month ridership. In July and August, we were averaging about 30 riders 30 daily riders on the GMT bus.
30 daily riders.
Yep.
But that doesn't say they're from Underhill.
It does not, but that route was at 30. It is today at closer to 50.
And that's,
so it's gone up about 50% since we made the adjustments to the schedule to better capture the majority of people who are taking it who are going to the hospital. And so we've seen a big tick up for the last 3 months, September, October, November, as compared to July and August.
Okay.
And it really is more of a joint thing. I mean, we're paying for, you know, the system, not just for Underhill.
I understand.
Correct.
Because we only
yeah.
have one bus
correct.
From Underhill.
It's shared for Jericho Underhill.
Yeah.
And
I understand that, but if nobody from Underhill
like,
is using it.
It's kind of like paying school
there
taxes.
There are people from Underhill
you know?
Using it, but they don't break it out by town, except when they do a special audit for a week or two period of time. Right
okay,
now,
so
they just count total tallies of fares.
I'm trying to understand. 30
daily riders.
30 daily riders.
Of which there's
is that for
15,
two
15
in,
sort of.
Two, for the two buses going in and the two buses coming out?
Yeah.
Or is, so it's only like seven people on the bus each time? It,
getting on at this stop.
No, this is the total ridership for the GMT commuter.
Okay, but what does that mean? Does that mean each day we got two buses going in and two buses coming out,
yep.
only 40, 30, however many people?
Today is 50.
Okay, it's 50.
Yep.
That
and
50 is spread over four
two
different...
full loops.
So that 50 is spread over four trips.
Two in the morning, two in the evening.
Right.
Yep.
So that's 12 people on the bus.
That sounds about right.
On a
yep.
huge bus.
Yep. Yep.
And it, not just at the one stop. That's on the
that's
whole
everything.
Route.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. So we still view we have a ways to go.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, my note back to Rachel was, okay, first 50% gain. And now we're going to start working on the next 50% gains and the next 50%
yeah,
gains.
Yeah,
so.
And I think it takes time.
Yeah.
And it may take a hit with gas prices going down, but, you know.
Well, the gas prices have been going down and its ridership has been going up
right,
since
right.
we made the schedule adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's starting to flatten out right around 50.
They're getting smarter about the schedule.
Yep. 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 And that's only 3 months into it, so. So, yes, that one is in there at the same amount. By the way, that increase in ridership is about 18-some-odd riders per day at $2 per trip. You do the math on that, that's about $700 a month or close to $8,000 a year. Additional revenue to GMT from just that one step up, which really didn't cost us any more. It was just shift the schedules.
Right, but GMT doesn't share that additional revenue with us.
No.
I mean, I understand that'll never cover the cost of the bus. But.
Right. We've had those discussions as a committee about, so if we're doing work to improve ridership, then they're getting more fees. Should the costs come down to the towns? At some point, you would think it would.
Yeah.
That may be
so it's on our radar screen of things to be talked to them about.
Great.
There were.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I support the concept of the bus.
Yeah. Yep.
When I go by the parking lot every day and don't see a whole lot more cars there, I wonder.
So. Yep. There are things about the stops themselves, those locations, that need to be improved. The one in Underhill, the two in Cambridge, although the latest one in Cambridge is a step up. But there's one in Cambridge and one in Jeff, and the one in Cambridge needs some help because the place the bus stops and the place they have to get to are two different places.
Well, that may happen with the positive anticipated mm-hmm. development
yeah.
that's going on. And if there is, and I heard a rumor about housing there, you know, that feeds it. People
sure.
can walk to the bus, go to right. Burlington.
Correct.
I mean,
if that area builds up around Jericho Market,
yeah,
then that bus
and,
will get
and there is, you know, a rumor of senior kind of housing.
Yep.
So it really, and I think that the site.
Senior housing by itself probably won't take advantage of a commuter bus. But
well,
one of the
excuse
things
me,
on our,
lots of seniors work.
Yep, correct.
What was it,
but what would be...
But going into Burlington for a day.
Right, but yeah. What would be advantageous is a midday run. So
yeah.
you could either go in first thing in the morning, come back at noon, or go in at noon,
they
come
may
back
add
in
that.
The evening. And that's something that we have on our radar screen as a thing to be working with GMT.
And the important thing is that if we would say that's deep six, this thing, mm-hmm. it's harder to get it up. I mean,
tremendously, yeah.
almost
yeah.
impossible
yeah.
to get it
Mike
up
Coleman
again.
Will tell you that.
Let's wait until we need it, and then we'll get yeah. it. But that doesn't work.
Right.
So anyway.
Okay. So moving back into articles, we do need to set, as the input from Garrett Baxter came in, the figures for our expenditures with without tax dollars.
Yeah. So. Sherry and I did incorporate most of Garrett's suggestions into these.
Are these the ones you sent to us?
Yeah, I saw
these
that.
This is
yes.
more recent?
Okay, so this is
these are incorporating
yeah.
okay.
Garrett's suggestions on most of them. Again, we can't fill in the blanks yet, but on the...
I like the BLCT input on these out.
Yeah.
Very helpful.
I concur.
Yeah.
So one question I have regarding their input on number 7, 8, and 9 now, because it's broken down to 3, is they're
Article
recommending
8.
Splitting them out versus having it as one.
Mm-hmm.
And so either
same
way,
thing with 9.
If the voters were to say no to them collectively grouped together or any individual one of these, then that leaves us hanging with that portion of the surplus or all of the surplus, and we'd have to have a special meeting, I presume, to vote on it again. And so my thought is, I think what we're offering up in this venue here is something that I don't feel is a poison pill in here, as he was suggesting. I think it's pretty evident to most in town that our highways need attention, so putting a good chunk of that, the 100K figure in towards that, 30,000 for the great room building here, and then 50,000. The 50,000 as a tax reduction piece of it will offset, when you take all of this into account, mm-hmm. adding in the 250K for corporate, adding in the 500K for the gravel roads, those will come out as loans. And those loans and that 50K in the first year will about offset each other. And then in the next year, you start to see the town hall, town garage loan, which was $45,000, drop off. So it continues to stay offset. So again, my sense is the package deal, the way we've formatted it, is there for a reason. And I think it's viable and appropriate. And I'd be more inclined to say, let's just put it out in front of the voters, are you with us or not, as opposed to individually doing that.
Why did they suggest breaking it up? Is it not
so
legal to do it, or is it unclear?
Their comment was, what if a voter looked at that and said, well, I don't want to have 50K go to reduce our taxes.
Okay.
I want that to go into highways, let's say. Then they might say no. During the town meeting, unless we move this into floor vote, these items can't be changed. We can talk about them, but you can't change them.
Can't change the language of the ballot.
Correct. Correct. And so if they go through the vote and they all pass, then anything you talked about during the meeting is irrelevant because they pass. And if they don't pass, then anything you talked about might help you formulate, okay, this is what we should try next. And so my sense is either way, they'll probably come up for discussion, whether they're individual or grouped. And rather than hit the voters with three separate ones and having them try to understand what are they doing, why is this this and this that, it's one fund. It's the surplus, the $180K that we had. And we as a select board are trying to suggest this is what we think is the most appropriate way to do that. That's my thought, but I'm open to...
Yeah, I guess I was under the impression we agreed it should be split out, because then we'd know. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, most people, let's face it, don't really educate themselves about what the Australian ballot questions are, and they're going to see $100,000 to the Highway Reserve Fund, $30,000 to the, you know, and what we're going to, we'll have a hearing about this, right?
Yes.
But
don't we have to
nobody comes.
Right.
This one.
So what I told the highway guys last night was that me personally, because I'm on the select board, I can't get out there and say, this is what we should go do. You on this committee, you're welcome to go do that. And because I'm the chair of the committee, I have to be careful there as well.
Right.
But they can get together and try and educate the voters on the package that I showed you the last time, which is, here's what our capital plan looks like. Here's what the loan structure that goes with that looks like. And then get out there and advertise that on Front Porch Forum or go to the town meeting and talk about it there. They're all welcome to do that. I can't, because I could potentially get in the trap of looking like I'm selling.
Right, but what you're doing is providing facts.
Yeah, and we had that discussion. But I can see how it could get on a slippery slope.
Oh, it certainly could get on.
So that's the fact that you believe in, but how about this? And then I'd be looking like I'm explaining why this fact is more appropriate than that fact, and now I'm selling. And so that's why I kind of felt it was, I should be careful about that. After this year, it's a piece of cake. But this year, because of the way I think my hands are tied due to legislation in Montpelier, I need to be careful about how I
agree with that.
And we have to, excuse me, but on that point, we also have to be careful that we're not doing something through others that
correct.
We couldn't do
ourselves. And that's why that discussion amongst them has to be amongst themselves. And they were all like, well, you should do this. And I'm like, I can't do this, guys, because it could really get on a slippery slope quickly. And if it did, and I was looking like I was defending something, then it looks like I'm taking a stake.
Yeah.
So, but they can do that, and they can discuss it, and they're all very knowledgeable about the plan, because we've been talking about it for the last year.
Right, but we shouldn't instruct them to go out and sell the plan.
They brought it up, not me. It was the group collectively that were like, why don't we do this? And I'm like, well, you guys can, but I cannot.
I'm sorry, Dan, I interrupted you.
No problem. This may be irrelevant, but is there any statistic that any of these, you know, financial articles have ever been turned down? I
don't have the stats, but I think what I've seen over the history is most everything that gets put out gets passed.
Yeah, I think people have some basic credibility.
Yep.
You know, why would they put this out if they didn't really think that? And I think that there's a general respect for the select board.
Yep.
And
so too, by most.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if it's a moot point how we break it out. But that's irrelevant because, you know, you're not trying to control the outcome.
Right. Yeah, and again, we're already up to, what, 16 articles?
Yeah, we really want, we want the people to be involved.
And there's a couple more that we don't have in here that I want to talk about, so that could get us up to 18, which is like, yikes.
So people would be in the booth for a long time.
So where we have opportunity to condense is my sense, given the number we have here, probably worth doing. One of the ones I'm talking about bringing in is another reserve fund transfer. And so if we're going to do that, then lump it in with the other reserve fund transfer because we're trying to consolidate reserves. And it's clear to the voters that's what we're trying to do, and this is where we suggest it goes, and are you in or not? So I think there's ways to do that, but my sense of breaking this down for worry over the poison pill, I don't have a lot of worry based on what you've said, in my experience as well, that the voters are going to go, what are they doing trying to bunch these things together? And there'll be discussion during the town meeting that could help, if it didn't pass, elucidate what went on.
Does there, or can there be, in the language, just a statement, or can't you do that with the thing? We are trying to consolidate reserve funds. I suppose that colors it.
I don't think. And it doesn't feel so. Tell us the language has to be pretty.
Yeah, for much of the many of the financial ones, there is statutory language.
You just have to put it out there as if everybody knows exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because they needed to do their homework.
Yeah. And is there any way we can just explain it again, factually explain
put it in the select board report.
The town building reserve fund, what the purpose of that fund is.
We can put it in the select board report.
Well, can we put it on the website? I mean, can we, you know, we're always talking about using the website to be transparent and just to define these terms.
Yep.
I don't see why not, because the website is similar to having the public meeting. And that's what we have to do.
Right, but we you know, as Kurt appropriately points out, we have to be really careful to not be
persuasive
or advocating a particular position. Yeah. But to just, because, you know, if I wasn't on the select board and I looked at this, you know, I kind of think I'd try to keep up on things, but I wouldn't know what the hell the building reserve fund was or,
right.
you know, so right. I'd be willing to take a stab at defining these terms.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know how we'd get it on the website. What would we call it?
The Highway Reserve
Fund. Explanation of ballotite questions or something.
The Highway Reserve Fund, you saw in the capital loan structure plan what that would be used for. That said, last night we also talked about on Bridge 8, if there's a cost overrun, we might need to dip in the reserves to cover a piece of that. And there is some more work that needs to be done on Bridge 8 to the
abutments.
The abutments that have got some concrete that is in trouble.
Bridge 8 is the one right here in the center.
Yep. So we're expecting the amount is going to be 20, maybe 30K more than what we originally expected based on the input we got from ECI. But that's because we expanded the scope to go, you know, we got to be taking care of this while we're at it.
Mm-hmm.
But Highway Reserve, I think, is pretty straightforward. That's where it's going to get used. The Building Reserve, we probably should specify, is for Town Hall great room renovations. And I think that could even be done in the article itself, stating that, because he even says, if you read Garrett's notes in here, that, like on the gravel roads, be a little more specific. Gravel roads covers 30, 40 miles of roads in town. Yeah. What's it going to? So I think that one's sufficient there, and the other one's straightforward to reduce the tax rate.
Yeah, can't that be a parenthetical remark to upgrade the great room?
Sure. Well, it's not so much upgrade as it is to renovate. Crack plaster, repaint it.
Maintain and
floor
renovate.
That's,
It would be better than upgrade.
Right.
Some people think.
There is some upgrading because we're talking about the heating system. That would be an upgrade because that's an ancient heating system in there that's half of it not working properly.
All right.
So, yeah, if you're willing to take a stab at it, then I think that's appropriate. As you know, and we all know, we got to be careful about, we're not advocating, we're just explaining what the reasoning behind each of these is.
So the Highway Reserve Fund, just tell me the projects. The Irish Settlement Road and Poker Hill.
So, hang on. The Highway Reserve Fund would be to add two other highway reserves that we have that we believe are on the order of about 150K. Once Jennifer takes over the job, we'll get clarification on that. And then in that 10-year outlook, we have about 200K of reserves that we want to use in order to stabilize our tax rate over those 10 years. So it's to, in spike years where there's 20 or 30,000 more than that, we'd use a bit of the highway reserve to bring it back to 170. And that was what was in that spreadsheet that we went over at the last meeting.
Okay. And so Article 8 is to move 30,000 to the town building reserve fund?
Yep.
Okay, we should add town because we talk about the town building reserve fund in Article 10.
Yeah, and there's different names of these reserves. I mean, there is a building reserve fund right here. It has 10,000 in it. Mm-hmm. It's called the building reserve fund. Mm-hmm. We have the post office. We have this building. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say the schoolhouse counts and then the town garage.
I'm just saying Article 10 and Article 8 at least should be consistent.
Yep.
Yep. And those are basically, yeah, the same reserve fund. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in Article 11, shouldn't we say the Corbett Road Bridge? Instead of the Corbett Bridge. We don't have any bridge in town named Corbett, do we?
Well, there's only one bridge on Corbett that I'm aware of that's
but
still
it's on
functional.
Corbett Road.
Yes. Yeah. And it's actually technically not a bridge. It's a culvert. Yeah.
Should we say that instead of bridge?
Probably should. I think Ramona, I remember, had a definition. Bridges, if it exceeds 15 feet, I think it was. I don't remember exactly, but there's a distance that it has to go beyond to be classified truly as a bridge, and that one's not that much. So,
yeah, I mean, it sounds like if it were a culvert, 250,000 seems like a lot of money for a culvert.
Well, the culvert on D Row.
What we all think.
The culvert on D Row was 225,000.
Yeah,
so maybe that was 5 years ago.
Maybe we should stick with Mona's definition because it's obviously bigger than what most of us think about as a culvert.
Right. Yep. And this will be expanded because in order to meet the new requirements of the Department of Environmental Conservation, you got to be 1.5 times the stream width, and it today is
deeper.
Definitely not 1.5 times. And oh, by the way, it was a big lowland that they just necked it down through this 4-foot-wide culvert.
Right.
So should Article 12 then identify the gravel roadbeds where...
Yeah, so on that one, I think we can be specific that there are 3 sections of Irish Settlement and 2 sections of Poker Hill. I can even give you the numbers if we needed to, but I don't think we need to go into that detail. But there are 3 segments of Irish Settlement and 2 of Poker Hill. Mm-hmm. And I think it totals, what was that? A mile? Mile and a half of roadbed? If you want that total number,
total?
I can give you that. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. It's probably closer to 1.5 miles, possibly more. Okay. I'll write myself a note to give that to you.
So, what would happen if the voter said, no, nix on the Corbett Road Bridge? But it needs to be fixed.
If they
then
nixed,
what do we do?
If they nixed it, they'd basically be coming back to us, the roads committee, to say, so we don't like spending $250,000 on that bridge, right, or that culvert replacement. And so we'd probably have to step back and go, okay, here's your alternatives. We put a wooden bridge down or do something different.
But would the state allow that?
If it fails, if it collapses, which it already has a partial collapse in it, and Nate had to put a 1-inch-thick steel plate on it to keep the trucks from dropping through. But if it were to collapse, then you can replace it as is in place. It's an emergency, and you don't have to meet the new requirements. You can replace it as it is. So you can throw in another 4-foot culvert.
Does the town have if it collapses at the wrong time?
Yep, you might have to pay for someone's car that got damaged, or the
or
town truck,
body
might,
that got
or more likely the town truck that would go through.
Correct.
In which case, now you got a $180,000 vehicle that you just caused some damage to, and that's going to be even more
that
pricey.
Would be probably the most
and
case.
To say nothing about the potential for injury to the person who's driving the truck.
Yeah, now I think we would probably first approach if the town voted it down for some crazy reason. I'd like to hear some town meeting, why are we doing this, and go look. And if you look down through, you'll see one of the blocks is caved in. We've got a steel plate on top of it. The thing dates back to, it's an old steam engine culvert. It's not even a modern day culvert. So it's back into the 20s, 30s, maybe even before that. So it's beyond tired. That's why it's the number one on our list to do.
Okay. So where are we at? Is this still going to be a ballot question, or is it going to be a floor question?
Oh. You know, there's two camps on that. I know the Cambridge folks, when I talk to them, they vote everything off the floor. Mm-hmm. It's just all done by the floor. I think we've tended to tilt more towards the Australian because we know that a lot of Ontario residents don't attend town meetings because they have work obligations and can't make it. Mm-hmm. And so we felt that in order to be fair to those individuals, mm-hmm. that we should put it as an Australian ballot in order to get their vote to be meaningful.
Right.
And I still feel that way. I know it takes away from a town meeting not having the banter back and forth about should we do this, should we do that, increase it, decrease it. I get that. But at the same time, I also recognize that out of a town of 3,000, we get a few hundred to show up for town meeting.
Yeah, apparently Jericho and Cambridge get a much better participation.
I don't know percentage-wise that they do. You know, Jericho's 5,000 people. And I thought I heard the number that they see is like 600, 700. So that's maybe a little bit more than us percentage-wise, but not a whole lot. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're 12, 15% that show.
Okay, so we're going to keep it an Australian ballot.
I think so. I mean, any one of these you could look at and say, yeah, we can put it on the floor and talk about it and then go from there. If we wanted to tilt it more back towards the old way of doing business, which is floor voting, I'm happy to do that.
You'll just hear from at least 5% of the population.
Right. I hate taking away from those that would like to vote on it and don't feel compelled to miss work for the better part of the morning.
Your absentee ballot, you're not around.
Right.
At least these days you can ask questions on the floor. You can.
Yes. That's a new thing. So
you can
talk about it, whereas in the past you couldn't even talk about it if it was in Australia.
Right.
And now, as long as it's not a person running for office, you're allowed to do that. Okay.
But I'm not running for office, but I can't do it, right? Well, I'm not running for office.
No, you can't talk. I think the thing is, any article, it's an article to vote for the officers.
Right.
You can't talk about your, if you were running for office, you couldn't talk about your campaign on the floor.
Right. Yep.
In fact, you couldn't even be
in the building.
Do it on the checklist.
Advertising.
Your presence.
Yep.
At least you wouldn't have to wear a disguise.
Fire department for taxation for municipal school purposes, that one's pretty straightforward. The next one, on the other hand, is maybe not as straightforward regarding tax stabilization contracts. So the way it's currently worded here is in a fashion that says, shall the town vote to give the select board general authority to enter into tax stabilization contracts? So that doesn't specifically address whether or not the voters want to approve that we continue granting tax contracts or not. That just gives us authorization to enter into them. But
yeah,
it's not actually addressing the
eliminating or
correct.
Doing it.
But can it be something like, shall the town vote to continue the tax stabilization contracts?
To continue came out of the recommendation was continue out of the fire department one, so I'm sure it'd be the same rationale. And you'd have to flip back to the remarks
marked up
one. So basically, if the vote goes no, the select board doesn't get to negotiate contracts, then they just start to fall off as they.
Right.
But.
So it is kind of clean.
It's kind of clean, but the, just reading it in a booth, you know, in a rush to get out, I'm not sure I'd understand that that's what that means.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it you don't get to say what it means from a financial point of view.
Nope, not
because
on
that's persuasion.
You can't say parenthetically this would raise your taxes.
Yeah, right. That's 2 cents,
which is reality.
Correct. The reality is that town contracts are about 2 cents,
mm-hmm.
Which is 5% of our about 5%, 4 or 5%. Yeah.
And
I'm not necessarily saying we should do away with them. I would just like to see an honest vote by the town on whether or not they think we should continue ponying up the tax dollars so that we will continue to keep our forests, fields the way they are and free from development. I'd like it to be worded in that fashion so that they recognize here's the cost and benefit. Mm-hmm. Benefit is, if it's under town contract for that 10-year period, they can't develop the property. At the end of the 10 years, they can come out of town contract and develop it.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost to the town for maintaining a policy of that sort works out to about 2 cents on our 48 cents that we're at today. So it'll go up to 50 cents if we continue doing them business as usual.
Yeah, and the whole idea of saying pursuant to 24 VSA section 2741B1, I mean, what the heck
no,
does that
nobody
mean?
Knows what that means. I don't know what that means. Yeah. I have to go spend some time to dig and look that up. It's discouraging that you can't put it in a fashion here so that it self-educates the voter when they're trying to make a decision and they're in the booth trying to go, do I or don't I? It'd be nice if you could.
Yep,
this is for this benefit, and it comes at this cost. And I guess, you know, we rely on what used to be very effective, the town hearings, when people used to pour out to show up to find out what's going on new this year in the town. But that doesn't happen.
I think it, excuse me, would be more effective if it were a longer period of time, because, you know, the
10 years is a short run.
Short run. And yeah, I can do that for 10 years, and then I'll develop it after that. But you, we'd probably get a lot less, maybe, if it was for 25 years or 20 years,
yeah.
And say
then it's
that
more
means,
like current use.
That means, you know, I can't do it a long time.
Right.
But that would be meet the objective more to keep green space and open space.
And the other side of this is the fact that state current use program is in place. Essentially in parallel with this, and a landowner can opt, assuming they meet the criteria for state current use, i.e. have enough acreage and have it in a forest plan or some agricultural production plan, and in that case it doesn't hit the town directly as an expense because it's picked up by the state and we get reimbursed as a town.
Right, but the smaller landowner can't take advantage of that.
Correct. I think it needs to be 25 acres to go into state current use.
At least.
I believe so. I think it's 25. Whereas we have some people in 15, 20 some odd acre parcels that are in town contract.
So I wonder if we could, you know, with this proposal that I have of just trying to add a little bit more information about the ballot items.
Yep.
Something at the website or something we can use as a talking points at a meeting, say...
Here's the benefits, here's the costs.
No, not the benefits, but say what the result would be if the town votes not to give the select board general authority to enter into tax stabilization contracts, then the town, after a certain period of time, there won't be any more contracts.
Correct.
I mean, because I don't think people would know that just looking at the question.
No.
And I don't think that advocates a position one way or the other. It just says this is what the result would be.
I mean, Kermit came to us, last November or October?
Yep.
And said, just FYI, fiscal year 2019-20, you're going to see about 50% of your town contracts come up for renewal. And so 50% of 90K is 45K-ish that is up for grabs in the next couple of years. Is it the right thing to keep them going? Again, I don't want to try and persuade a voter one way or the other. I just think they should know that that expense is for this to happen.
Right. I mean, I think there needs to be some education about these questions because it's just in black and white.
Yeah, it's... I know before I was a member of the select board, and I sit down and look at one of these articles and go, yeah, all right, they think it's the right thing to do, so I'll vote yes, and not realize that, you know, that's not necessarily what they were looking to have you do. Just so, yeah, if we can figure out a way to pass VLCT muster and not be persuading voters left or right, then getting that information out would be valuable, whether it's on our website or on Front Porch Forum or whatever.
Or talking points at a meeting.
Yep. Yeah, I suppose during the select board minute, if you will, during town meeting day, we could go down through them. We just need to be really careful about not looking like we're trying to push one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm trying to reach those people who aren't able or don't want to come to town meetings. So.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Mount Mansfield Community Television. I almost think we should pull that out and we just put it, it's in our, it's not a, they're 501c, but they're providing a service to us and we're paying for a service.
Why isn't it just a part of the budget?
Exactly. To me, it's in the select board budget. We have them here to provide the ability for the public to actually, real time, watch what we're doing.
And the town's people want them here.
That's a service to us as a town. Absolutely. And so, to me, a line item for $1,200 under the select board, do we need a special line item for it? Not really.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Budget. So, for me, I'm inclined to take it out.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I agree.
And we're just...
How did it get into being an article?
I think it was because...
The service...
Ruth brought it to our attention that...
The service appropriation policy is the first year.
Yes.
It goes on as an article. If it passes and you never see it again, it is its own line.
Correct. But these are social services, and I don't know if I deem this as a social service as much as we, as a town, want to advertise or get these meetings out to the general public.
It's a community service.
We use MMCTV to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose with Front Porch Forum, did we put that one as an article to
vote?
We did. Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's just a consistency question.
Yeah.
But you also don't have to be consistently wrong.
Front Porch Forum doesn't provide a service to us, really.
Well, he announces our agendas on Front Porch Forum.
It's nice that you can do that.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is a service where people can watch it right now or they can watch it, you know, at their leisure a week from now.
And this requires a person to come here, whereas Front Porch Forum is up in the system and self-operating, and they're just looking to collect money from as many sources as they can to keep that operation going. In this case, Ruth is here almost every meeting, as long as we aren't doing special meetings outside their schedule, and performs a service for us. And to me, when you have a service, like whether they're cutting your grass or filming your meetings, it's business. And so... they've set our price now at $12.50 a year. We pay that.
How is it different than the commuter bus? I think I know the answer to that question. And the answer that I would say would be that the commuter bus is for a more focused group of people who use it.
Mm-hmm.
This is, not everybody uses the community television, but it's available.
So that they can.
It's available so that they can, and a lot of people do.
Right.
But the bus is available to everyone, too.
Sure.
No, that's true.
There only may be a small portion using it, but it's available to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe we go back to Garrett and say, do we really even need to put that one in there? Yes, they're a 501c, but They're providing a service, and to me, that's almost like it's business. They're not for profit. They're not in the business to lose money. They have budgets to manage
and survive. For a business to survive, to provide a public service. That's
right,
it.
Right. I mean, you have multiple sources of funding. Some of it comes from the cable network tax.
The only source of funding we have is a proportional set aside from Comcast.
Right.
We have charged nothing from the towns for 20 years.
Right.
Comcast is taking money away from all of the public access stations. So we're coming up short now.
Yeah.
That's why we're asking for some help.
Yeah.
The only reason.
Sure.
You don't have big advertisers.
We're not allowed to have our advertising.
Ah. Right, because they're public.
Ah.
We can have sponsors.
Yeah. Hmm. So, I don't know, do we just go back to Garrett and say, hey, we think we can cover this under the select board contingency and just, they send us the bill annually and pay it and we're good? Or do we need to actually have it as an article? If it has to be an article, then it's written correctly, I guess, and we can...
But it doesn't say... I saw one comment was, you know, the farmer's market, he wanted to know, well, what does it do? What service does it provide?
Yeah.
But Article 16 doesn't say that. I mean, he approved it as written.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe their name is just more descriptive.
Yeah. So for the farmer's market one, I think you just say you need to pay for the coordinator's expenses.
To support management of the Jericho Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so I shot an email to John Coyer and saying, hey, we sent this out for review. The request was that we come up with some neutral language that explains the services better. So we'll see what he comes back with.
So let's do that on number 14. Let's ask Garrett if he feels it's even necessary to have that in there, given the situation and how we're using it.
16.
14.
Old 14.
The Mountain. No. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on old 14. Okay. You're on new 16.
The Mount Mansfield.
And then we get into... the town hall roof reserve. This is one that I would suggest we add to the other one that is the generator reserve. I would use the same article. We're basically trying to point those two into a building reserve. It's leftover dollars. We appropriated more than was necessary to do the project. We had leftover monies. I don't see a need to keep $10,000. We have a brand new roof on it now. So let's move that into a building reserve fund. The generator that we have an article for.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it would just be, again, $20,000 from the generator, $10,000 from the town hall roof reserve into the town building reserve.
So just add that to Article 10.
Yeah, Article 10. Correct. Again, trying to keep the number of articles down to a reasonable one. And the last one is the glyphosate. I haven't seen that the petition has been completed with enough votes yet, but it may be.
I thought the deadline was last Wednesday.
Is it last Wednesday or is it tomorrow? Oh, that was the 15th. And I may be wrong on that too.
I guess I don't know. I don't think it's set. I think they've got time still.
Do they? It's obviously got to be before it goes to print.
Yes.
And that's the end of the month.
Right? Yeah, Sherry thought we'd have one more look at these if we had a meeting maybe before the 29th, which you might do for the health board. So.
Yeah.
So we have, I think we have time.
So that, not on the 29th, but if we've got to have a meeting next week, let's say.
Yeah.
Got it. So I guess we should have the conversation. If they have enough votes, then we got a letter from BLCT, enough signatures. We got a notice from BLCT about, not sure you guys want to put that out as an article, even though they have the commensurate number of votes, because...
Well, it doesn't need to be an article, because the voters only have authority to make decisions about the money.
Correct. And this isn't about...
So it's not so much a question, I don't know if you want to do it. It's not really an appropriate...
Right, that's what they were saying. It's not a...
And we need to do our job within the guidelines of the state and the guidelines of the state.
Right. Right.
It would be like somebody saying, I don't want a certain kind of gravel used on the roadbeds for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Salt, for instance.
Yeah.
Salt is...
Salt.
There's a price to pay when you put salt on roads.
We want to ban salt, and everybody says we got to ban salt, but the town needs to maintain a level of safety
Correct.
And upkeep.
Yeah.
And the select board is responsible for that. You know, I like what VLCT basically said in that regard. Is that the way?
Yep. That's...
Because... and I, frankly, am much more... I may not like it personally myself, but I'm much more feeling safe about the town doing it than saying... This doesn't apply to landowners who may or may not know what they're doing
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, and there are certain things that they can't get a hold of anyway because they have to be certified. But even anything.
Yeah, my sense from the league's note was don't do it because if you put it up for vote.
For an advisory vote. That's what they were saying. It wouldn't be a binding vote because
Correct.
The voters don't have the authority to make those decisions.
Right.
They said you could put it out as an advisory vote.
And that would need to be clear in the article.
Right. But what does that mean? Does that
exactly.
mean we're going to, if the vote is no on glyphosate, does that mean we're never going to use it? So it's kind of like, what's the point in even putting it on there?
Yeah, because we have to make a decision anyway
right.
if that's what's necessary.
Right. And yep. I guess, you know, my feeling is I'd rather rely on the science from the foresters and UVM and et cetera
yep.
and do what they recommend when we're in a situation like we may be in. So.
Yep.
You know, I know a lot of people won't like that, but it's...
Well, you know, their image is not the way Ethan applies,
right.
you know.
Right. And I like the suggestion that there be a coordinated effort between the Planning Commission, the Conservation Commission,
yeah.
all these consultants, and
right.
and include people who, you know, object to it
yeah.
in that discussion.
Of course, yeah. yeah. Yep. Nope, work it out through those committees and not make it a article to apply to the ballot, which really doesn't carry any authority with
it's
it based
binding.
On what
right.
yep.
Don't we make decisions on articles that I remember years ago people putting political, you know, national political mm-hmm. articles, petitions together. And we didn't run them because it wasn't the purpose of our town meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like our hands are tied with every petition.
Yep. Okay. So it sounds like we're kind of consensus is to not.
Yeah.
We'll see if it even gets enough signatures. But. Okay. That brings us on to the select board report. Thank you again, Pat.
You're welcome.
And
that was very clear.
Yep. So we need to figure out what X is for the percentage on the tax rate. Yep.
You ready to do that?
He's going to rerun the number. We'll get the latest one with that.
Yep. You've got your finger on the button.
Yep. So that's an easy one to get.
And, of course, you're going to take all the questions from the floor.
From there.
Yeah. And removing Rick A. joining the Highway Committee is appropriate because we're not mentioning
it.
It will get covered in other committee stuff anyway. And the only other one was that I thought that we ought to consider the articles and having a bit of a explanation in the last paragraph regarding... So, if all the articles pass, this is what it would do to your tax rate. I don't think that's advocating for or against. I think that's just simply saying, because it's going to come out net neutral roughly, that that's what it is. And if I were a taxpayer voter and I'm going to sign off when I'm voting on all these, I'd like to know what's the impact of what I'm voting on.
I'd like to know what the LCT's opinion is on that.
Yeah, and we should ask them that. Again, it's not part of a article, it's part of our select board report.
Yeah, but we're not
And we should, yep, we should ask them for that. But again, we're going to state facts. This is what will happen if all of these line items are approved. That's the dollar and cents line on it. I think that's appropriate. If I were going into it, I'd educate myself as best I could, but it would be difficult to educate yourself on all that as to what it means without having some good working knowledge of our town's budget and how it works. And they aren't going to see the fact that that gravel road line item is going into a loan that works out to $40,000 a year. They're just not going to see that. They're not going to see that Corbett Road is not $250,000 in the first year. It's going to be a $20,000 20-year loan. And so someone who's astute enough in the finance world would go, okay, I can figure that out. Yeah, about 4%, $250,000 over 20 years works out to that, but that's not the average person. So to me, I think it's appropriate for us to do that, and if we need to have Garrett check us on that to be sure, then by all means.
Okay.
So should you want me to write that up, pass it by you, and then zip it over to Garrett?
Sure.
Okay. I'll take a first cut at it, and then I'll let you do a better job than I do about putting it to words.
You got all the facts. I've got the style.
You do.
You've got the substance. I've got the style. That's better.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it for old business. Moves us into new business. We got a certificate of mileage that we need to sign off on. This is the annual state requirement that we certify how many miles of road that they're remunerating the town in the form of a pilot.
Mm-hmm. We haven't added any miles.
We haven't taken any away.
So that being the case, there's a box above my paycheck. Wow. A place below that for 3 signatures.
You need a general consensus, is it?
Yeah, I think we can.
General consensus is that we haven't changed the mileage on our road, so we will sign accordingly.
Right.
There you be. And the next item is to discuss the Chittenden Solid Waste District.
Yeah, I just wanted to, you know, get it on the agenda and in the report. And it's nothing that we need to do now, but just to know that I received a, and this is with my hat as the commissioner at CWD.
Yep.
We have a reminder that Underhill has a balance of $5,000 in its community cleanup fund that we can access. And so we can think about that. Obviously, we're not doing anything now, this time of year, but just so that we have that on our radar and that that's what we can do.
So we could use that to defray, like, Green Up Day expenses?
Green Up Day, we use it for deter, eliminate littering, illegal dumping, and problem sites. It can be used for solid waste cleanup projects on public or private property.
So if someone had a spill or something that happened across their property, the town could step in.
Right, and we could use those funds for that. And they're, you know, we're familiar with the forms that we have to fill out for that request.
Yep.
And which is not much. It's an email that basically I have to send, you know, once I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the funds are released. But They do have an expiration date, but I don't think that there is any. There is. We need to receive receipts for projects to be reimbursed in this fiscal year by June 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So that covers green update. And that would be that.
And if we don't use all the 5,000 by June 30th, it's gone?
No, 1,000 of the 5,000 is what we have to use.
Okay.
So the 5,000 is our pot.
Yeah.
And, you know,
20% of it.
Yeah, some of it. Yeah. Some of it expires.
And green update is usually only like $600 or $700
to cover cost of bags and disposal of.
Yeah, and two men standing by with the trucks.
Yeah, on, sure.
Clean up and paying overtime
for
the
salaries.
Driving in on the. Driving the material to the drop offs.
Right.
That's the majority of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think we've certainly never spent $1,000 before.
So, but didn't we, once upon a time, didn't we also accept tires at no cost on Green Up Day? And now we
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. And I wonder if we couldn't use some of that money to do that. I think part of the problem we don't do it anymore is because people were just bringing tires in.
People would save their tires, and you know, we got this going on. And the impetus for that is to, because people, unfortunately, you find tires in the woods, and you know. But people bring their own tires that they didn't want to dispose of and pay money for.
Yep.
Which is why CSWD used to have this this one weekend a year, Tire Roundup Day. They've eliminated that.
Because people are saving up for the year.
Well, we are. And it was a, you know, people... You know, should have been paying for their tires anyway.
Yep.
Okay.
So anyway, we can think about that when we get closer. Okay. We do have that money, and that if any ideas come to your mind, or if people are listening and they say, "I got an idea," you know, you can let us know. You know, that's an important thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you see things that come through that they approve? That the district approves from other towns?
I can ask Lauren, you know, that question, because we have time.
Yep.
And I can relay that.
Do you think it would be worthwhile to consider to help motivate individuals to move into the composting business, which is coming soon?
Well, that was the other agenda item that I wanted to...
composting type setups and let people come in and buy them at half price or some subsidized price to help stimulate people in town to start composting.
Right.
So thought, if you're not going to spend the full $1,000 and you need to spend $1,000 and you're only going to spend do you put four
I suppose that classifies as cleanup, but that's something else. You know, that's a different part of the solid waste law.
It is, but we're trying to get that stream of compostable material out of our landfill.
That stream of waste.
Right. And I personally just started doing it in the last year, and I've seen an amazing drop-off.
It is amazing.
I never thought it was that much.
And you can learn a lot about it. That was the other item that I wanted to put on new business, just to raise... consciousness, because one of the things that I will do, again, as part of my CSWD hat, and another hat, I completed the Master Composter course.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing this many years. I didn't realize how much I could learn in this course.
Sure.
And I am going to invite Lauren and I, a date to be determined, maybe closer to the spring, to come out here and have a workshop for people. And I wanted to get that on the agenda in the minutes and on the camera so that if anybody is saying, and maybe make an announcement at the town meeting as on behalf of the CSWD report, that 2020 is coming soon, and you know, many people you know, are figuring this out by themselves.
Yeah.
But you know, there is a an effort and a science of doing it right. One of the things that towns are doing, not rural towns so much, like Underhill, and I really wouldn't recommend getting into that unless there's a cry for it, but creating a community compost center. A
collection system to...
It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of volunteers.
You got to keep the wrong stuff out of it. And
right. Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of detail with it. Of bringing, it's a possibility, you know, what you could do, but you'd have to, you know, I am aware of what needs to be done with that. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. One of the manuals that we studied is the manual from New York City. New York City is going into it big time. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine their volume. And they're having some success, but it's a huge hurdle. It's huge.
Yeah.
Where they have community gatherings.
We don't have the space constraints they have here in Underhill. So.
I know, and most people do it in their backyards. Yeah. And even that workshop that I am proposing, and it will happen, it will teach people how to do it so that they can avoid problems. You know, with pests and mm-hmm. and disease and other things, but anyway, I just wanted to put that out there as something that we can keep in mind, and you know, we'll hear more about it because I'll make sure that happens.
Yep.
And perhaps involving Jericho too, in inviting them to a workshop. You know, we would have it upstairs in our. Newly renovated great room.
There you go.
Maybe it won't happen that quick.
Okay, so we had a couple additions to the agenda that we brought into new business. First one is the approval of amendment to town plan.
Yes, so we resolved that question. The town plan does not get voted on at a town meeting like the zoning bylaws do.
Ah, okay.
So you've had your two public hearings.
Yep.
And we're waiting to get that answer. We now have an answer. So it's by statute, if it's not a town meeting by the voters, it's select board at one of their meetings.
Okay, so we can make a motion to approve the town plan, and it's resolved at this meeting, and not having to go to vote.
Correct.
Okay. So I move to approve the amendments to the 2015 Underhill Town Plan, which were subject of select board. Public informational hearings on December 4 and December 18 of 2018. Do I have a second?
Second.
Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And we have a review draft.
And thanks to Andrew for putting in the work he did.
Andrew and a lot of other
planning committee
and thoughts.
Yep. A lot of good work there. Next one is the review of the draft audit management discussion letter.
So this is a letter we're sending to the auditors, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That basically says we're in sync with all the points that they're making.
Yes, they will not have to proof this much because they had a very, very large part in writing this letter.
Yes.
Right, but is this boilerplate from years past?
Yes.
Because in the past, you know, we had Mona to say to us, yeah, we've done all those things. And right now we don't have anybody that can say that to us.
So myself and Sherry read it. Mm-hmm. There is the protective language, you know, to my knowledge and belief. Mm-hmm. But again, they did not find anything that they spelled out in the draft.
Looked suspicious or anything.
Yeah,
right.
But my one question on that was... paragraphs 41 and 42 refer to policies, if you look into that. And do we have policies like that? 41, we have appropriately disclosed the town's policy regarding whether to first apply restricted or unrestricted resources. is that a written policy, or is that sort of our what we do? I know Mona talked about that pretty frequently. And then 42 says, we're following our established accounting policy regarding which resources are considered to be spent first for expenditures for which more than one resource classification is available. I'm not sure I even understand the sentence.
So I think what Beth's saying is that if you have, again, I'm going to stretch on this, but if you have a fund that is committed towards multiple projects, the first one listed is where it goes to first, and then accordingly down through if there's two, three, four.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we have an established
and does
policy?
Did Mona do that? I would presume she probably did. And this is probably something we'd want to review with our new finance individual to make sure that all of this is in her mind when we start the fiscal year that she's getting into, so that when this comes around next year, we don't go, whoops, I wasn't doing that.
I can look and confirm that those two paragraphs were in last year's letter, if you like.
Okay.
That they're not new ads for this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
This is a similar letter from every year.
Yeah, I'm sure it's pretty much the same.
41 and 42, right?
Yes.
Yep. And normally they also make a phone call to ask you about anything you think might be suspicious going on town that you would want to point us to and all that. Mm-hmm. I have not heard from as of this point, but I would expect at some point, probably shortly after this gets signed, that we would get that phone call.
Yep.
Okay, so do we have consensus to approve signing on this?
So moved.
Brian will confirm on those 2 points that that Pat brought up.
Before Sherry signs it.
Yep.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
And the next one is the IS culvert. So the discussion on that came up that, and I had to kind of feign memory loss on this, but apparently when we authorized this project with GW Tatro, there originally was a design that had an outlet and an inlet header with guardrails on both sides of the road. When we finally approved it, and this came from the engineering firm that Tatro had do the design, it came in with an outlet header and guardrail, but no guardrail and no inlet header, but rather packing large stones and material to essentially direct the stream water to the culvert.
Is that, I thought the inlet had a header and a guardrail, and the outlet, which is downhill.
No, the outlet has the header and the guardrail. The inlet, which is on the side of the road that Steve Luce's property is on, the uphill side, that does not.
So the outlet is uphill?
Nope, it's downhill, but it has a header on it so that the road could be widened without it dropping off. And if you remember, there was a hole developing there because one of the big boulders had dropped out. So this prevents that from happening on the downstream side. The upstream side, the same thing could have happened at a greater cost to put in that header and guardrail. The solution that I guess Craig got involved in was talking with...
right, so East Engineering proposed this change, ran it by Nate, sent it out to Cricket Wakuska for her intake review.
Yep.
She made some recommendations, sent that to VTRANS, which is the grant, and also to the Army Corps of Engineers. We needed one of their smaller permits for that site.
Yep.
And everyone said the concept is okay.
Should work.
I guess I'm still confused. I drive south on Irish Settlement Road.
Yep.
The guardrails are on my right.
Left.
Which it's on my right.
When you're driving south?
When I'm driving south. Yes, sir. Well, I'm driving south. There I see Luce's house up there on the right.
On the Luce's on the right, guardrail's on the left.
The guardrail's on the right, I thought. Because I remember thinking, that's a little scary. There's no guardrail on the left where there seems to be a big drop-off.
Yeah, because there is a very steep big drop-off, and the guardrail is there.
I'm going to drive home that way tonight. Yeah. I swear the guardrails.
Put your high beams on and watch.
Mm-hmm.
This is where what you should do is bet your favorite six pack with a person on something like this.
But the, cameras are
the cameras are
rolling.
The cameras are rolling. Now it's on the outlet side that the header and guardrail is. But
I don't know about the header. I know about the guardrail though. But I'll let you know what I find.
give me a text. So the net is what's happening is water is seeping around the inlet to the culvert and getting underneath it. And the discussion went back and forth about, so it should silt in at some point and just compact, but the net is, it's winter right now. There's not much we're going to be able to do about this. Wait till spring, observe it, and we should be able to do, there's a couple of things that could be done. One, the more expensive one would be put the header in, guardrail, and go back to plan A, but that means tearing out part of the culvert, and so that would be at significant expense. The other, and it's deemed that this will likely work, is you can put a flange on the inlet side that will help direct that water into it. That's probably the right way to go. We still have close to 30K of grant money that was unspent. It was a 60K grant. We used about half of it. We'd have to match that to a 20% rate. So my sense is we need to probably have Cricket and Petro's engineering guys come spring, get out there, look at it, make an assessment as to what we do, and then spend the money accordingly. Out of the town's pocket, we're ducking a small amount of money because the grant will cover 80% of whatever the amount is to fix it. And the other one might simply be, no, you just need to tamp the stuff down more and it'll silt in and it's not going to percolate.
It's just frustrating. We've got all these people out there giving us their opinion, and then initially, it doesn't seem like it's perfect.
Yep. And it may be due to how the, again, this was constructed at a time of year when I wouldn't have expected it to have been. Mm-hmm. We had thought this was going to happen before October 15th. They mm-hmm. were doing it with snow on the ground and so forth. And so is it conceivable that they didn't get the right stuff compaction-wise and whatnot because of the, I don't know.
Okay.
So we'll go back at it in spring and take a look at it. I think we're fine from the duration of the grant.
Yes.
So that money's not going anywhere just yet.
Nope.
And we're still in the same fiscal year, so it should be covered.
So where we are is they did invoice for the full amount. So if Nate is not satisfied, we haven't had a sign-off from their engineer yet. They've absolutely done more than 50% of the work.
Yeah.
But I don't know that they're... So I get... Maybe that's the question. Is the town willing to pay them off and do the fix with additional money?
My sense is when something doesn't go quite right, you hold back 10% or something on that order. And
yeah. So we got an invoice last week in December. And I sent them some of that language looking for expecting them to propose something. And what came back was another 100% invoice.
And we're not...
Which we haven't paid yet either.
Yeah, and we're not saying that...
No, Tatro's a group we're happy with, in general.
Yeah, and I don't think we're trying to say to them that, the fix is going to be all on their nickel, not ours. We all signed off on doing this approach, and we may find that the approach is fine. It just, when we get to spring and better weather, that it will all come together and be fine. But if we do choose to add in a flange or something, we're not talking a lot of money, but whatever that amount is, we should have them charge us accordingly and get the problem fixed.
Yeah, and I think if we withhold a little bit, it might make all these contractors and engineers and whoever's involved more likely to come and try to fix it quickly.
Yep. Yeah. Admittedly, 10% is only a few $1,000, but still. Okay, so that's the end of new business.
Consensus. Signed and void and pay 90%?
Is pay 90% of the invoiced amount, and if we need to return a note to them saying that...
Yeah, we'll absolutely like not just that.
Meet within the spring when the snow clears to review functionality of that culvert. All right, that brings us to warrants and minutes.
We sure spent a lot of money on trucks. We sure spent a lot of money on trucks this period.
Repair
work, yeah. Mm-hmm. We also had a credit, if you remember, from them that offset some of those expenses.
And what was the big expense with Viking scythes or sieves?
Viking sieves.
That was
the 2011 truck that Jed drives had the body replaced. That was the 32 that you were looking at.
32,000.
Yep.
And TIFCO? What's TIFCO?
TIFCO makes, or distributes, I should say, all sorts of pieces and parts. I assume that they were stocking the bins, and these are bolts for, I would guess, plows, graders, and a variety of things. Okay. That's what it looked like to me, that he was just restocking the shed supply bins. Mm-hmm. Things looked like they were ordered in quantities of like 50 and 100, so that's what it looked like to me. Okay, so
I'd be interested in talking with Jennifer or somebody about, you know, some way of, you know, not worrying about every single nut and bolt, but
inventory management.
Yeah, how frequently does TIFCO come and fill up the bins, and is that a traveling salesman?
Yep, he's a traveling salesman who will show up and take Nate's order, and then the parts come with an invoice. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they ship them out of, but
yeah, I know, but I you know, is using 500 nuts in a 6 month period what one would expect? I mean, that's my question.
And so then you'd have to get into the conversation with Nate. So you got this project you've got planned where you're expecting to burn through a bunch of this stuff, and that's why you restock to those quantities.
Or, like you say, inventory management.
Yeah.
That's a discussion for another time.
Yes. Select board meeting minutes for January 8th. Make a motion to approve the minutes of our special meeting on January 8th. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So is that the first one?
That's the January 8th one.
There are two of them.
That was the 1 p.m. one, so yes. Motion to approve the Select Board special meeting minutes from the second meeting of January 8th at 5 p.m. Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. And backing up to the previous week, another Select Board special meeting minutes. Motion to approve the special meeting minutes of January 2nd. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And one last one that dates back to December, and I think that's because we had to make an adjustment to this one.
No, I think it was just too close to the second for me to have it ready on the second. Right. So
also motion to approve the special, a little typo on the meeting, special meeting minutes, sorry about that, for December 28th. Do I have a second?
Second.
Anyone have anything to discuss?
Is that the one that I was not at?
This says you were there.
Okay.
Right, yeah, December 28th.
Right.
It was the second you weren't actually at, but you can vote for the...
The last one that I gave you were not at. This one you were.
Right.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Aye. Very efficient to have Sherry send these out.
They didn't used to do that?
No.
Did you read them during the meeting?
Well, you know, you pass them on this big notebook and then you page through them. And this way you have a heads up.
You get it so you can look through them and come up with any questions you might have. I did not get a chance to reach out to Nate. I had a question for him on the, looks like he purchased, I think, an electric chainsaw from up in Montgomery.
Yeah.
And so on that one, I was kind of, well, I'd go all the way up to Montgomery, which actually is where the salesman from Tipco apparently is from. But I was going to ask him, so did you find it online? Because he doesn't typically look online. I just hope we didn't make a special trip to Montgomery to buy a chainsaw. But then the other one I had, and I wanted to bring it up to discussion.
Electric chainsaw?
It looked that way. It said 18 volt on the invoice. So I'm presuming it's a pole saw kind of rig. And having gone through two electric pole saws and trashed both of them within less than a year, I will never buy another electric pole saw.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I've had trouble with reliability on them. But maybe this is a better one. I didn't pay $400 for the one I bought. I paid less than two. The one I did have a question about is the WorkSafe, $739. That's for signs that get put on Repa Road that are a little bit bigger and clearer and easier to see about the logging truck activity. So we as a town put those signs up. What, should that be the logger base for putting those signs up, or should that be a town?
I guess I'd like to see that invoice. So, yeah, in general.
That's temporary signs, right?
Yeah, if they've got
it's basically that there's logging happening between 8 a.m. and 12 p.m.
Right.
He may have... I'm doing some guessing here, so mm-hmm. I can keep guessing.
No, we should just ask Nate.
I'm thinking of that recent timber roadside cutting that the town did.
Oh, maybe that's what that was for. Yeah. Not for Repa Road.
Yeah, but I'm guessing.
That very well could be, because we had cutting on Irish Settlement, we had over on
Maple
Ridge,
time.
And so maybe that's where the signs are for.
Yeah. I think it might just be coincidence that the Repa Road ones...
There's some new bright orange signs on Repa Road, and so maybe they're totally different.
Okay. Yeah, again, I'm guessing at this point, but I think that's what the answer will end up being.
I saw him yesterday, meant to ask him, and it just completely slipped my mind, so I didn't. Okay, that gets us over to member items, correspondence, announcement schedules.
All right, so the schedule, less than until there's a special meeting. We meet again on the 29th.
Right, but it sounds like we need a special meeting to go over this situation that got brought to our attention during the public comment. And the other one is I've sent a note to Tim, and I haven't heard back from him about when we get back together again to review the last meeting's output for the fire department town contract.
Yes, I haven't heard
anything. I haven't heard back from him yet.
No, the 29th is our regular meeting.
Exactly. That's
correct.
So unless there's something in between, that'll be the next meeting.
Okay. Yep. Right. But just as a curiosity, I expect Tim will get back to me with, okay, we're free on such and such dates for next week. What do your schedules look like? Pat shaking her head like next week's not good?
No, I'm leaving Wednesday morning at 6 a.m.
Okay.
I guess...
Right before you leave.
Yeah, Tuesday. I'm not doing it Tuesday because I'll have to get up at 3 in the morning to get to the airport by 6.
Well, this would be a daytime thing, in all probability. But again, I don't want to cause you to be time constrained.
What date was this?
So you're out basically from the 22nd on, is what you're saying. The 21st potentially could work.
Yeah, potentially.
And then the following week we have a meeting on the 29th.
Crack of dawn on the 28th, so.
It's January.
Yeah.
How about later in the week on the 28th, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, I'm pretty available.
Dan, on your end?
But we have a meeting on the 29th.
Well, that's our regular select board meeting, and so we could proceed.
Oh, you're talking about Jericho?
Yep.
I would be available during the day on the 28th.
Okay.
Maybe.
How about 29th? If we moved this meeting up earlier?
Oh okay.
If we started between 4 and 5, let's say.
I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong month. The 29th. Certainly.
Wednesdays are bad for you, right?
Yeah, although I volunteered to be on the farm show, I could meet in the morning.
The 29th?
The 29th.
So, 28th.
If you met with Jericho.
29th, morning. 21st, you said you were good any time of the day?
21st, that would be true.
Okay. Oh. There's toss those dates out to them, and probably ideally it would be to tack it right in front of the 29th select board meeting, so it's just one continuous one. So yeah. I don't know that there's any super rush on it, so I think from our perspective that probably would be the best way.
I can
make sure that on their end that works for them too. So.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I could meet a little bit early. I could leave the farm show early too.
Yep. Correspondence. There was
public notice from Green Lantern Group.
Yep.
And the latest budget status report, which hopefully I would propose not using these numbers, but as like in the day or two before we go to print, I'll get the actual numbers so far this year to put into the budget, into the town report.
So I'll get those.
This seems a little early, but we're getting closer.
Right. We didn't talk about it, but there's a finance report, too, that we need to assemble as well.
Yes, I think I did... three of the four that Mona usually does.
Yeah.
The budget explanation, budget justification page.
Yeah.
You and I were going to get together at some point.
That's always a good page.
Yeah.
And
so we can
put some facts
in
there.
Yep.
Different choices or
have
different impacts on the...
So just let me know what works best for you.
Around Thursday, Friday this week?
I am. Thursday's a really cold day, so I probably won't go up skiing, so that would probably work pretty well. I'm meeting with Russ Clark and Nate at 10. That would probably go about an hour or so.
After lunch on the...
Could do it after
lunch. After
lunch
on Thursday?
Sure. 1 o'clock.
Sounds good.
Okay. I would probably go over that UPWP application for the River Road Project 2. Okay.
And I had exchanged a few emails with Brad Holden, and he's not sure that doing the lease work is worth doing. The statute will change.
Mm-hmm.
For the, it's less than a year now, just barely less than a year.
Right.
January 1st, 2020.
And this is regarding the glebe leases.
The glebe
leaseland.
It would be something he proposed doing if it was going to go on for a greater period of time than that, with uncertainty.
Yep.
But if it'll solve itself time wise, there'll still be some individuals who are impacted, but there's only been two in the 3 years or so that this has been a thing. So basically, his quote would have been 2,600, 2,800. So that's like maybe that would help. That would have the impact of helping four, but in the next year, but there haven't been two a year.
Right. But wasn't there some question about if the town were to say, just let it all go, you might potentially be giving away a right-of-way somewhere that may prove to be of value to you later? And
I re-raised that question, and he thought it wasn't very unlikely that it was, and there was anything up there that would be useful and any sort of easy.
Any sort of easy?
Yeah. I think the phrase was the state doesn't like to do the to talk about this. Yeah. So that again, that was that. There's some sections were like 104 acres instead of 100 acres. Mm-hmm. The rationale being that there's 4 acres that could be set used aside. For
served, yeah.
Yeah. But unless there was one section that hadn't been subdivided, you couldn't picture how that would be a useful thing to go after.
But should we just have him kind of draw up, here's where all our glebe lease lands are, and let us collectively as a select board review that to just another set of eyes besides just Brad's to assess, is there any value to any of this to the town?
Well, one problem with that we have discussed before is, are we even sure that would include, I mean, he would have to do a title search of almost all the land in the areas where we have glebe lands.
Yeah, he thought he could.
So you're saying the cost of going through all that to find out that there's...
Well, not that as well as, you know, is it definitive? And is there going to be somebody out there who has leased land and didn't know it, or we didn't know it? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it just... What representations would the town be making based on Brad's work?
Survey work.
You know.
I did think it's still important to, as these do come in, and we'll see if any do come in,
mm-hmm.
to insist that they do a full chain of title and go back and confirm that they're in the lease, that they don't just ask for the town to sign off on something that we don't have.
Yeah, like the last time somebody asked us for a quitclaim deed.
Right.
There was no lease land.
There was no lease land. Yeah, I remember that.
So
it cost them money and cost us time and effort to go do that research. And whereas as of the point in time that this legislation takes effect, it just all that goes away.
Right, and that's going to be as June 2020, right? 2019.
January
2020.
Yeah.
Right, so
we're,
this town meeting will be the last town meeting before that happens.
Yep.
And of course, the simplest thing is we do nothing.
Right.
And case by case.
No, we do nothing. No. If we do nothing, all the glebe leased lands will revert to the landowner.
Yes, I'm sorry, I meant case by case. If someone does need
but
to transfer
came
between now.
Before January 2020, saying I need to move and I can't because.
Yeah.
And that's probably it. Very small number, if not potentially zero.
Yep.
Okay.
And that is all I had.
There was a correspondence
from Pam
regarding slippery highways a couple weeks ago on Pleasant Valley. And actually, I saw someone who had slipped off just before New Road.
So Nate talked to Pam and... Mm-hmm. explain the circumstances, and they were okay. She was okay. So I asked, do you want me to bring this forward? And the answer was no. So that's why I didn't bring it. I didn't realize you guys were copying on that as well.
I think there was a concern about notification, how to get in touch with someone, and obviously you call the town garage number. If you don't get anyone there, then you try Nate's pager or try someone in the office here, and eventually you find the person in town who can get to it.
But I have a concern that she wasn't able to contact Nate. I mean, he carries a pager 24/7, right?
Yes.
He does, yeah.
And but so what were the circumstances?
On that particular case?
The resident not knowing the pager number.
Right.
Well, shouldn't we have? I mean, what's the use of him having a pager if people don't know how to use it?
So is it not in our town website?
Yes, we could add it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. We're on the town website or in the local phone book that has the town office
and also
phone
maybe
numbers and so
at
forth.
The end of his foreman's report or road report.
That can be another spot. Go.
Highway report, whatever it's called.
Yep.
I mean, a cell phone would be nice, but as we all know...
Yeah, it doesn't work in every place.
It doesn't work in most of Underhill, so depending on what service you have. So.
Right.
And the pager is effective.
Pager does, I understand. I had a conversation with, why do we have pagers? Why don't we just have you guys all use cell phones? He said, because pagers work and cell phones don't necessarily. And it's not just in the town of Underhill. If he needs to page the guys to come in and they're somewhere out and about, He needs to be able to be sure that they get the message, not it goes to their cell phone voicemail and they get to it 8 hours later. Okay. So that one's covered then. Nothing else?
No, nothing.
All right. Can I make a motion that we adjourn our select board meeting? Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.